We are continuing the series in the book of Exodus, and this is kind of a subset of that series on the tabernacle. We've talked about the tabernacle and how that was God's dwelling place. He told the Israelites to build that tabernacle because he was going to dwell with them. And so tonight we're not going to look at the structure. Last time we talked about that, we looked at all the coverings and the courtyard and the significance of the altar, and those are all important. But God also appointed a priest or a priesthood. And in a way, the priests were kind of like servants. And, you know, we can think of the tabernacle almost like a castle, so to speak. It's the place where the king dwells, and the king has to have servants, and in a way, the priests are like servants to the king. And you kind of see that in chapter 28. Look at Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1, where God says, "And take unto thee Aaron thy brother," speaking to Moses, "and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So right off the bat, God is saying, okay, these men are going to be my servants. They're going to minister unto me primarily. So they're kind of like servants to the king. But tonight I'd like us to look at some of the material in chapters 28 and 29. We're not going to cover everything. And part of the reason why I gave you this handout is so that we can cover some of the specifics of what the priest's garments were like. So we're not necessarily going to talk about every detail here, but I wanted to give you something so you can kind of visualize and see what it may have looked like. And so the information that's on this paper is primarily from chapter 28, Exodus chapter 28. Just kind of gives an outline of the material and the picture there. What I want to do tonight is point out two aspects of the priesthood. The first aspect I want to show you is the function of the priest. What was it that the priest was there to do? And then the second thing I want us to look at is what was the basic requirement for the priest? Those are the two big ideas in these two chapters. The function, what they did, and what was required of them. So first of all, the function of the priest. What was he? In that first verse that we read there, it says that God said, okay, take Aaron specifically and his sons from among the children of Israel that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And the word that's translated, minister unto me in the priest's office, or just minister in a priest's office, that's just one word, that just means to be a priest. So God says, choose a man to be a priest for me. Doesn't necessarily mean that he has a desk and some bookcases in an office. This was just the role that he was intended to fulfill, the priest. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, gives us kind of a good definition of what it means to be a priest. And I just want to read that. Hebrews 5, 1 says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin." And that verse really summarizes what it means to be a priest and what the priest does, what the function of the priest is. It says in Hebrews 5:1, he's taken from among men and ordained for men. And that word "for" means in behalf of, in the place of men in things pertaining to God. So I think the one word that describes the function of the priest is a representative. The function of the priest is merely to be a representative. Now, there's two ways that the priest served as a representative, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, we know what a representative is, and I was trying to think of a good illustration to use for that, and I just couldn't think of a really good one. But, you know, our political system, our governmental system is set up with representatives that represent us in Congress. Now, they're supposed to do that. That's the idea. But they're supposed to take our concerns and present them as Congress makes their decisions. And that's the idea of a representative. You could also think of an agent, maybe a real estate agent, who works in your behalf to sell your property or to help you buy another property. But he's doing that in your stead, in your place, for you. You could also think of a lawyer. A lawyer can do the same thing, represent you in court and defend you. That's the idea of a representative. So, two ways that the priest serves as a representative. The first way is that the priests represented God to the people. And this is a role that's not so much described in these two chapters, in Exodus 28 and 29, but in other parts of the Bible, we see that the priest represented God to the people. One way that they did that was through something called the Urim and Thummim. How many people have heard of that? The Urim and Thummim, okay? That was a device that was kept in the breastplate, behind the breastplate of the priest. And that was used in making decisions. That was used in figuring out God's will. People would come to the priest and try to determine what was God's will. Well, that was one way that they served as a representative, communicating God's will to the people. Another way that they did that was through the instruction of people. Did you know that the priests served as instructors of the people? They taught the people. They taught them the difference between things that are holy, things that are common. They taught them just matters of right behavior. But what were they doing? They were representing what God wanted the people to do. They were representing God to the people. And so that was a major aspect of their role as a representative. But the role that really comes out in this passage is the second aspect of that function. And that is that the priest represented the people of Israel to God. And that's mainly what we think of. I think when we think of a priest, we think of, okay, he's helping me get to God. And that indeed was a function of the priests. And I want to point out a couple details in this section to show you that. And we see that in many of the garments that the priest wore. Let's look at chapter 28, verse 12. This is talking about some stones that had the names of the children of Israel engraved on them, two onyx stones in verse 9. And verse 12 tells what to do with those stones. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And then look at this. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And if you look at your handout there, you can see with a picture of the priest on his two shoulders, that's kind of where those stones would have been that were engraved with the names of the children of Israel. And on the back, you can see the list there on the right shoulder, the list of the names, on the left shoulder, the list of the names. And so when the high priest went into the tabernacle, he was bearing the names of the children of Israel on his shoulders. And then another detail that shows that the priest represented the people to God is in verse 29. This is talking about the breastplate. Look at verse 29. Exodus 28:29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. So here we have again, in another way, as part of his clothes, we see that he functioned as a representative. And again, if you look at your handout, you see that breastplate. And we could read all the details about the stones and what each stone had engraved on it and what color it was. And you can see that on your handout as well. So we have on his shoulders the names of the people, on his heart the names of the people. And another detail is in verse 30, and this has to do with the Urim and the Thummim that was in the breastplate. Look at verse 30. Is that the verse I want? I don't think it is. Verse 30. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, verse 30 of chapter 28. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And that idea of bear the judgment, it's probably better to think of the idea of judgment as in the sense of a decision. You know, when a court makes a judgment, they make a decision. And so that's the idea of the word judgment here. Aaron shall bear the judgment or the decisions of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. That's what that device was used for, determining God's will. And so again, you know, he's bearing something having to do with the children of Israel as he goes in before the Lord. And that's all a symbol that he is the representative of the people when he goes before the Lord. So the priest represented the people of Israel to God. And there's other details that we could note about that in other places, but that's clearly what the priest did. That was their function, one of their functions. You know, as we read these chapters, we understand, or we get the idea that most of this description is about one man. Most of this is about the high priest. Just one man who was to be the representative of the people. Now, there were other assistant priests, and there's some mention made about that in verse 40. It talks about Aaron's sons and what they were to wear. A little bit different description there. But primarily, this is about just one man. And it's interesting, as we think about all of Scripture, that there's another one man that will serve as the high priest forever. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is described as the high priest. Many places in the book of Hebrews, especially. Hebrews chapter 5. He is our great high priest. And that leads us to a question I want to ask you. And that is, do we need priests today? Do we need priests today? Any ideas? Yeah? No? Okay, do we need priests today? Lance? Okay, good, yeah. So the answer to that question is yes, and I'm going to say no. Okay, yes and no. And the reason that it's no, first of all, is because Jesus is our high priest. And we have to understand that what he did was final. And the fact is that no one else represents us before God except Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's turn to Hebrews 4. Just keep your finger here. And let's read Hebrews 4, part of Hebrews 4, verse 14. Just kind of jumping into the argument here in the book of Hebrews, but Hebrews 4:14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then the exhortation, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And that exhortation is because of we have Jesus as our high priest. We don't need any other priest to give us access to God. We have boldness because of the high priest, Jesus. So, in one sense, do we need priests today? Well, no, because Jesus is the high priest, and the Hebrews says he's the high priest forever. The priest in Exodus, that we're going to die, there was going to be a succession there, but Jesus, he lives forever to intercede for us. So, no, we don't need priests today, but there's another side to this. Yes, we do need priests today. And as you said, we are priests. If you are a believer, the New Testament presents believers as priests. Believers are priests. And probably the greatest passage that teaches that is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And then jumping down to verse 9 in 1 Peter 2, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And a number of other passages, Revelation 1:6 says that Jesus made us to be kings and priests unto God. Also says teaches a similar doctrine in chapter 5, verse 10, Revelation 26. So this is something that the New Testament teaches. If you're a Christian, you are a priest. And that's only because of Jesus as your high priest. But the New Testament teaches that we are to be priests. So that's the basic function of the priest that we get from this passage in Exodus and from other places in the Scripture. But now I want us to see, secondly, that there was a basic requirement for ministry as a priest here in Exodus chapters 28 and 29. The basic requirement. So we saw the function, and that was, in one word, a representative. Now there's a basic requirement. So the function was representative. Now I want you to see the basic requirement, which was consecration. The priest had to be consecrated. He must be consecrated. We see that in chapter 28, verse 41. Look at chapter 28, verse 41. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, talking about these garments, and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So that's kind of the end of that chapter that's talking about the priest's garments mostly. But in these two chapters, there are two major ways that we see the basic requirement of consecration. And the first way is just all the detail about what the priest should wear. We saw that in verse 41. They were to put on these garments, put them on Aaron, and anoint them, consecrate them. But I want you to see that these clothes themselves were given to consecrate the priest. Go back to the beginning of chapter 28 and look at verse 3. God says to Aaron, or God says to Moses, make these garments, verse 2, and then verse 3, thou shalt speak unto all them that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. Okay, so that's the purpose there, to make the garments to consecrate him. So what does it mean to consecrate? Well, the word to consecrate just means to dedicate or to set apart. And the word is very closely related. It comes from the same root as the word for holiness. So it means to set something apart, to be holy, or and to be a, well, that's what holiness is. It is a setting apart. And when that thing is set apart, it's holy. It's not something that's just used for a common purpose. And in fact, in verse 4, the garments are called holy. And that word holy is from the same root as the word for to consecrate. So they shall make holy garments there in verse 4 for Aaron thy brother, that he may minister. This was a requirement for them. And then another way that we see these garments were important to the consecration of the priests is in verse 36, chapter 28, verse 36. And this is talking about the mitre, or the turban, or the hat that the priests wore. And Moses, God told Moses exactly what should be written or inscribed on the plate that was attached to that mitre. We see that verse 36, chapter 28, verse 36. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And verse 37 tells some more information about the what that was supposed to look like. And then look at verse 38. This is talking about that plate. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, the high priest, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And I think what verse 38 is saying there is that Aaron is responsible to make sure that all the details that God had given concerning the tabernacle, the worship that was supposed to take place, he was responsible to make sure that was done right. Aaron, that's upon Aaron, the high priest. And that inscription on his mitre, on his turban, that was to declare the intention that everything he did was to be set apart for God, holiness to the Lord. That was what he wanted to do. And so that shows us that this was the basic requirement for the priest. They were to be consecrated. They were to be holy. So we see that with the garments. But one other purpose I want to point out for the garments, we see in verse 2 of chapter 28. Look back at verse 2. And this is something that's repeated again at the end of chapter 28, in verse 40. But God says, thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. For glory and for beauty. And I think that shows that in these clothes that the priest was wearing, it was to communicate something about God and about what he wanted to see from the worship that he was going to receive, glory and beauty. He is a God that's concerned about beauty, about the way that something appeared. And we see that in, you know, if we just, you know, look at the picture about what this priest may have looked like, you see all those colors and just the brilliance of those gems and everything that the priest was wearing. That communicates God's concern about beauty there. And so that's why I printed these in color, okay? Because I wanted you to see, you know, this is something that God cares about. God cares about the way things look. And then we're told many things about what the priest wore in chapter 28, the ephod and the breastplate of judgment. We're told other things about his robe, about his coat, about his mitre, about his linen breeches in verse 42. So those things show us that the priest was to be consecrated. And then the other thing that shows us the importance of consecration is in chapter 29. And that takes up pretty much the whole chapter in chapter 29. And that is a special ceremony of consecration. So not only do the priest's clothes show the basic requirement of consecration, but this ceremony in chapter 29 shows that God wants the priests to be holy. And we read about what was required. Look at chapter 29, verse 1. This is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them. Again, there's that word for being holy or consecrated. To minister unto me in the priest's office. And then we read on about this procedure. They were to take food, unleavened bread, cakes, and wafers. Part of the procedure was actually the clothing of the priest, the high priest, with these special garments. They had a bullock that they were to offer. They offered a ram. They offered two rams, actually. 29 verses 15 through 22 talks about that. There was a wave offering they presented to the Lord. The priest ate part of that ram. And this procedure, this process of consecration lasted 7 days. In chapter 29, verse 29, it tells us that. 29 and 30, actually. That procedure was to last 7 days. And every day there was a bullock that was to be offered during that period. But that shows us, again, the importance of consecration. And then at the end of the chapter, God just gives us a short outline of the priest's daily duties, the sacrifices that they were to offer every day. Now, I want you to think about what is the reason that God was so concerned about the priest being consecrated. Why was he so concerned about that, that they be holy? And the answer to that is very simple. And that's because if God was going to dwell with his people, the people that served him most closely, his servants, the priests, they had to be holy too. It was just a reflection of the character of God. And we too, as priests, are to reflect the character of God in the same way. 1 Peter 2, that I mentioned earlier in verse 9, describes us as a royal priesthood and a holy nation. So the two requirements are the same for us. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I think there is something for us to learn from the fact that God has so much detail about what the priests wore. Now, we don't dress like the priests. Obviously, I've never seen anybody come into church looking like this. Okay? And but I think that these details show us that it is possible to reflect holiness in what you wear. I think there's also something for us to learn in the fact that God wanted the priest's garments to be for glory and beauty as well. The fact that they were to reflect holiness didn't mean that, you know, they had to, you know, get on a burlap sack or something. They were to obviously follow the instructions that God gave them very specifically, but it was to reflect beauty. And then in chapter 28 at the end there, God talks about their undergarments. And he shows them the fact that he was concerned about the modesty of the priests as well. In contrast to priests of cultures around them who didn't exhibit the same practices, God was concerned for that too. And we can take a lesson from that as well. We too are to be holy, and that should be a motivation in our life. That should be a goal that we have, to reflect God's holiness, to reflect the fact that we are set apart. And going back to 1 Peter 2, 9, the purpose for all of that, Peter says, is to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So the purpose of all of this is to be a lighthouse, really, to people that live around you, to people that work around you, they should be able to see the character of God in the way that you live, in the way that you dress, the way that you behave. They should be able to see that. And that's the reason that he has called us as a priesthood. In a sense, we are priests. We are sort of a representative of God to other people. We are. But we need to remember that that's only because of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And so tonight, as we leave here, I want us to think about Christ as our high priest, who gives us access to the throne of God. And we need to praise God because of the work of Christ, the continual work of Christ as our high priest. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We can come before you as our high priest because of Jesus. We have access to your throne. And Father, we pray that you would help us to fulfill our role as priests in this world, to reflect the character of God, and to do that in a way that would be pleasing to you. We pray for grace that we need. And, oh Lord, we pray that you would help us. Help us to obey you, to live within your demands. Oh Lord, we know that we need you. We need your help and your grace. We pray for that tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.